Good morning, church. Great to be together again. I would encourage you, if you've got your Bible, that you would just open it up to Acts chapter 3, and we're just going to go through the first 10 verses of Acts chapter 3 today. When you look at those verses, you see an amazing healing taking place. Here's what Luke, who was a doctor, wrote. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging in the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. We need to realize that this isn't a special day. The Jews and the Gentiles who believed in God went to the temple to pray 3 times a day. They went every day to pray 3 times a day. They would go at 9 a.m, then 3 p.m, and then they would go and pray again at sunset. This would have been a normal day for Peter and John, a common thing for them to be doing. I mean, it was 3 p.m. It was time for the daily prayers. So they went to the temple. Now, it was also just another day for the crippled man. He had been crippled from birth, and we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 22, that he was now over 40 years old. He was brought every day to the temple gate, where he could beg for money. In fact, Peter and John had probably walked by this man a number of times before. Giving money to beggars was considered praiseworthy in the Jewish religion. So this beggar had strategically had himself placed by this busy gate where some pious people might see him as they were going to worship. He hoped that their guilt or their pride would yield him some money. This man was crippled in his feet and ankles. After over 40 years, he had no hope or no real future. His total existence was being carried back and forth to the gate to beg for money. I'm sure most of you would think that this is a pretty crummy existence, just trying to get enough money each day to live on, then doing it all over and over again and again every day, the same thing, just to try and get by. Yet there are people in this very state today. They might not be crippled physically, but they're crippled. Their days consist of them trying to scrape enough money each day for food and a place to sleep. In the eyes of the world, they have no future. They have no hope. Life is just a mere existence. The ordinary day for Peter and John and the beggar became really an extraordinary day that day. Everything changed as Peter and John went to the temple. Well, that's not really true. Things started changing days before. We read in Acts chapter 2 of the 120 that were in the upper room and on the day of Pentecost, and that would have been Peter and John. They would have been there, and they both would have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter and John were filled with power of God. Then remember last week we read in Acts chapter 2:43, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were being done by the apostles. As the Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit, God was using them to perform many wonders and miraculous signs. When a Christian today is filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of God, there's a good chance God will start using them to change things. God will use them to touch the lives of others in miraculous ways. That is what God did with Peter and John. He used them to change the life of this crippled beggar. We read of three things which Peter and John did. They prayed for the crippled man. They helped the man take his first steps of faith. And they stuck with him during the beginning of his changed life, of his journey with Jesus. We have a crippled man sitting at the temple gate begging for money from those who are going to pray. Peter and John were on their way at 3 p.m. to pray at the temple. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 3, we read, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Nothing out of the ordinary there. I mean, the crippled man knew he needed to get some money to support himself. He thinks that maybe Peter and John would fill that tangible need in his life. So he asked them for money. Yet, Peter and John saw something different. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, they saw a deeper need in the man's life than just money to get by. They saw there was hope for him to really experience life. Peter and John knew that they personally had nothing to offer the man of their own, but through the Holy Spirit, they believed this man desperately needed to have an encounter with Jesus. Peter and John looked at the crippled man and got his attention. They told the man to look at them. Obviously, the man looked up because he was thinking he was going to get money or something of value. Instead, Peter and John pray for the man. It is not some long-winded prayer filled with a bunch of religious words. Peter prays just a single sentence, a simple sentence. See, Peter had learned throughout his time with Jesus that Jesus answers even the shortest prayers. Remember when Peter and them were out on the water, and Jesus was walking on top of the water towards them. And Peter said, "If it's you, Jesus, tell me to come." And Jesus says, "Come." And Peter steps out of the boat and he starts to walk towards Jesus. And everything's great until he sees the wind and the waves, and he starts to panic, and he takes his eyes off, and he starts to sink in the water. And Peter prays. But what does he pray? All he prays is, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out and grabbed Peter and saved him. So Peter knew that it was just a simple prayer that he needed to pray. And all that Peter prays this time as he looks at the crippled man is, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Peter and John knew that it wasn't the length of the prayer that mattered, but the sincerity of their faith in believing that Jesus was able to do immeasurably more than they could even think or imagine. It was all about praying in Jesus' name. The prayer was in Jesus' name, not theirs. They were just the vessel which the Holy Spirit was using. Most of you know Kevin, who attends our church and is a realtor. Kevin's a great realtor. Kevin could come and advertise my house for sale. He could spend hundreds of dollars on marketing it. He could make one of his fabulous videos of my home. He has all the documents he needs to sell my home, and he has the licenses to do it. He might even have people who want to buy my home, but without Kathy and I giving him permission to sell our home, he has no authority to sell it. Once we sign the papers and give him permission, then he has all the authority to sell our home. He can sell a home in our name, as it were. Jesus has given his followers all authority to pray for people, to pray for healing in his name. And that's what Peter and John did. They prayed in the power and authority of Jesus' name. These men didn't ignore the crippled man. You know what I mean. You know, John and Peter were walking to the temple, and John saw the beggar man, and he said to Peter, "Hey, Peter, there's the beggar that's always at the gate of the temple. Let's just talk together as we walk by him, and then we don't have to look at him." No. The Bible declares they looked straight at him. They made eye contact with the crippled man. Why? Because they knew they had something more to offer the crippled man than silver and gold. They could offer him a changed life through the power of Jesus. That changed life was going to start with prayer. You know, nothing really starts without prayer. Nothing really happens without prayer. I don't believe you can show me one person who has come to know Jesus as their Savior who didn't have someone praying for them. Oh, it might have been a grandma or a granddad, a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a brother, a sister, a friend, a co-worker, maybe a school teacher or a Sunday school teacher. I'm not sure who prayed for them to come to know Jesus, but I can guarantee you that someone did. We need to realize that we have a great deal to offer the people we come in contact with. Are we willing to stop in our tracks, as it were, to pray for those who God loves? Are we really willing to pray for those who push us outside of our comfort zone, like the poor who cannot afford clothes or a place to sleep? God loves them. Or how about for the addict who's been drinking all night and might stink when we get together with them? God loves them too. Or what about the wealthy, snobby folks in our neighborhood who are just so, seem so high and mighty, and they just turn us the wrong way? Are we willing to pray for them? God loves them. You see, God loves everyone, even those we might struggle with loving. We need to honestly ask ourselves, are we willing to put our life on hold to have God change our plans to pray for those whom God loves? Maybe it might be starting to pray for them in our daily prayers at home. I will tell you, if you pray for a specific person every day, it will not be long before you are connecting with them and maybe even praying with them personally. Peter and John were prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray for this man, and nothing was going to stop that. They prayed for the crippled man, and his life was changed completely that day. Not only did they pray, but they actually touched the crippled man physically. They engaged with him. After Peter prayed, he reached out and took the man by his right hand as the man took his first step of faith. Notice what happened in Acts chapter 3, verse 7. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. The crippled man believed Jesus could heal him. By faith, the man starts to get up to his feet, and Peter reaches out to help him. Peter didn't say, "Well, we've prayed for you, and now you're on your own. You figure out what the next steps are." Pardon the pun. In a sense, Peter made sure that the man had sure footing before he let him go. The majority of people are very shaky in their faith at first. Some have never even read the Bible, maybe not even heard a Bible story. They need us there to assure them that Jesus will walk with them and won't leave them, that he can do all that he's promised. People we pray for need to have the assurance that what they're committing to is not off the wall. They're not connecting with some crazy cult or going wild or nuts. Peter knew everything was going to turn out, but I'm not sure the crippled man had that same assurance when he first started to stand. Think about a baby when they take their first few steps. It's all new to them, and they need someone around just in case. They believe they can do it, but what if it doesn't work? When we pray, we know God is in control. We know he can do everything he said he could do, because we've walked with him for a long time. We know it's all going to work out. But is the other person, it's the other person's first steps. They've never walked with God before. It's all new to them. They need assurance. They need that because the enemy will try to place fear in their lives that it won't work out. Peter and John prayed. The man believed. He had an encounter with Jesus and was healed. Then the healed man went wild. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. The man realized that he had more than silver or gold or any amount of money. He had more than anything he could get begging at the temple gate. He had an encounter with Jesus. His life was changed forever. It was no longer a life of hopelessness or just a mere existence. Truthfully, he had gone from death to life. Jesus gives life to the full. This man went with Peter and John. Can you imagine how they were feeling? They probably grabbed the man and told him to calm down. Everyone's looking at us. You're drawing too much attention. Just settle down. This is just becoming really embarrassing. Yeah, I don't believe that for a moment. I don't think that was their response at all. Peter and John were probably just as excited as the crippled man that was healed, and just as loud as the healed man. They would have been praising God for what he had done. We have all met new Christians who can't keep quiet about what God has done in their lives. They are all bubbly and walk around on cloud nine, and it's exciting to be around them. I mean, it just rubs off on all of us. Yet eventually, they come back to earth and face some of life's challenges. You know, like a relative questions their newfound faith. And then what happens? Or somebody ridicules them, or somebody at work mocks them, or one thing after another. And the enemy's quick to get in there and say, see, it's all a hoax. I don't think it was any different for this healed man. As he walked in the temple court and all of a sudden, he might have realized everyone was watching him to see what he was going to do and what was going to happen next. Listen to Acts chapter 3, verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. You know, in the New Living Translation, it states that the man was holding on tightly to Peter and John, while the English Standard Version states that he clung to them. You sort of have this idea of a little child just clinging to their parent's leg in fear and insecurity. If Peter and John had just left the man after he had been healed and just stood up, things could have been disastrous. I mean, how might have he handled all the attention he was getting? We read that Peter and John continued to walk with the man. In fact, the man is with them as they went before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4. We too must continue to stand with those we prayed for. with those who have had an encounter with Jesus. It might mean some late night or early morning calls. It might push us out of our comfort zone. In fact, you know, they might even cling to us, as this man did to Peter and John. They might seem to be there all the time and eating up a lot of our time. But it could mean the difference of whether the person will remain strong in their faith or not. We need to be there for them. Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of God. They were used by God as they were not willing to ignore what they saw and prayed for the man to have an encounter with Jesus. They prayed that he would be healed in Jesus' name. They helped the man take his first step of faith and continued to be there for him as he started on this newfound journey with Jesus. Peter and John gave God the glory for all that he had done through them. First and foremost, we must realize from this the importance of allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us. We need to allow that Holy Spirit to engulf us, and because he's the one that will fill us with the power of God. We also need to recognize and to be people who are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit to pray for individuals. We must be people who see past their perceived needs, but not ignoring those needs, because those are sincere needs and we need to address them. But we need to offer something that will meet the true need of the person. We are called to be people who pray for others to have an encounter with Jesus, that Jesus would be glorified in and through their lives. Will you join with me right now and in the days and the weeks and the months to come to pray for specific people you want to see have an encounter with Jesus? Will you do that? I want to do that right now, and we're going to pray. And as we pray, I would ask you to use specific names of those you want to know Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today, and we thank you for your rich love. We thank you that you have had people who prayed for us, who actually prayed us into the kingdom of heaven, prayed that we might have an encounter with you. And so, Lord, you know those names in our minds, those names we're speaking out right now, that we would ask that you would give them an encounter with you. That you would use us to pray for them, to intercede for their lives and the needs in their lives, that they may experience the truth and the fullness of the living God, that you will make them completely whole, that they will not be crippled by the things of life, but will walk in the fullness of Jesus. Now we know that doesn't mean they won't experience trials, and that's a whole different subject. Those trials increase our faith. But Lord, we just ask that as they have an encounter with Jesus, that we would be able to help them take that first step of faith, and that we would walk with them through the days to come. And Father, before we end this service, I do want to pray for Maggie's daughter and grandchildren. Lord, you took Maggie to be with yourself on Saturday. And so we lift Nicole, her daughter, and the two grandchildren up to you. And we just ask in the name of Jesus that you would send your Holy Spirit to comfort them. Lord, you see their greatest need right now. We ask that they would have an encounter with you, Father. That they would see the great faith, the great change that you did in their mother and grandmother when she had an encounter with you. And Lord, we thank you that Maggie is in no more pain or suffering, that she's at home with you, rejoicing before your throne today. Lord, watch over her children, her grandchildren. Watch over them, Lord, we pray. Father, thank you for this day, this glorious day. We give it into your presence. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name.